tomorrow's Memorial Day. It's a time when we remember those who have died, those who have given their life for our freedoms, those in our military who have surrendered all. But I'm thankful as a soldier of the cross, I can look back to one who surrendered it all. Amen. That rose up again that we might have it all. Amen. Rose up victorious that we might have victory. I'm thankful for Jesus tonight. I know he lives. Amen. I haven't seen him. I haven't been to where he was, but praise God, I know where he is. Amen. And I know that Jesus lives. Turn in your Bibles tonight into 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. And again, I wasn't trying to be mean this morning. If you took it as being mean, you took it the wrong way. Amen. I was just preaching truth. Amen. And you think it's hard to listen to the truth, you ought to have to be the one that has to preach it. Amen. In verse number 17, the Bible says, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, it is written in the books of Jeshir, 'The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor the fields of offering, for there the shields of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ointments of gold, or put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?" Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? We look back in history and we can see that the mighty have fallen many times. We read of the great epic battles and the great tragedy that battles have brought. And we see many times that great men have sacrificed and great men have laid down their lives. We see the heroic actions of some as they unselfishly presented themselves to be the sacrifice for others and give themselves in the defense and for the cause of others. We see the common soldier who goes into battle and becomes nothing but cannon fodder. During many of the great wars, the Civil War and the First World War, we see how men were hurled time and time again into the face of danger like we would never expect our soldiers to be exposed to today. The great charges and the great efforts to try to overtake and succumb the enemy while facing relentless opposition. And they fell by the thousands. Not far from here, maybe a little over an hour's drive from here, is a place called Antietam Creek. How many have ever heard of Antietam? How many knows what Antietam was? Antietam is the bloodiest day in American history as far as men dying. A horrific battle. Great men died. The total casualty count for all of Antietam, not just those who died, but those who were mutilated and those who were left incapacitated and limbs shot off and injured beyond being able to return to battle, surpassed that of the entire Vietnam War. One battle in one day. We read in the Bible the accounts of the great wars that took place and how in the midst of war, many thousands, sometimes we read 80,000, 100,000 men perished in one battle. And we can't fathom that. We can't foresee that. We can't comprehend that, but it happened. And not only the common soldier, but the kings, the generals, the leaders. And as David began his lament here, he says, "Oh, how the mighty are fallen." I used that term the other night before I chose to preach this scripture. Used it lightly. But when we stop and think about it in its context, what a thing it is to think back about our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen who have fallen. During the Second World War, an airman was required to fly 25 sorties, 25 missions. But the odds of completing 25 missions was very, very low. It was one of the most dangerous jobs in the military to fly a bombing raid over Germany. But they went. Mighty men of valor. Mighty men who realized the cost that was at stake. Do you realize, had they not been willing to do what they did, in spite of odds that weren't greatly in their favor, the world today would be a much different place, no doubt. We might not be speaking English as our first language, no doubt. People don't realize this. We don't think about this, but it's because of the sacrifice. Because of the sacrifice of men and women who have gone before us. I don't know how many have ever watched Ken Burns' series on the Civil War. Yeah, they aired it again this week. I enjoy it. I watch it. We see the men and women who sacrificed on both sides in that great conflict for the causes that they believed were just and true. And just think if one side or the other hadn't done their part, had done their job, what it might have been, how different it could have been. But then we read in the Bible, and we're instructed to become soldiers of the cross. Soldiers that will bear the news of Jesus to a lost and a dying world. Soldiers that will stand firm, and soldiers that will stand true, and soldiers that will be faithful. And we read through the pages of God's Word, and we can find that many times these soldiers have paid with their lives. We read of the martyr Stephen, a soldier of the cross, for merely preaching Christ and him crucified, was stoned until he died. We read of James and how Herod had imprisoned him and slew him, because he was a soldier of the cross. And he found out that it pleased the multitudes. It made them happy when he slew the soldier of the cross. So he put Peter in prison, and he intended to do the same thing to him. And we see down through history, as we study history and as we go back and we read, and we realize what men and women have done as soldiers of the cross. Mighty men and mighty women, valiant men and valiant women, who have laid down their lives, sacrificed their lives, willingly given their lives for the cause of Christ. And David's lament here, as we've read it, reminds us of some things that we need to look back on those soldiers of the cross and be reminded of and purpose in our heart to do. Look at verses 17 and 19. He said, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashir, the beauty of Israel slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen?" The mighty are fallen. The valiant that have went before us have gone on, but we need to teach others to be ready to take their place. David says, teach Judah. Teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Amen. It's time, church, that we quit playing church and that we start teaching our young people the Word of God, the truth of God. You know, programs and all this are good. I'm glad we got a youth program, but I'm glad we got a youth program where they get to hear the Word of God preached. Amen? I'm glad we got Awana, but I'm glad that Awana is a place where we try to instill in these young hearts the Word of God. Amen? That they might learn to use the sword. They might learn to use the weapons of our spiritual warfare in a manner that helps us to see victories, and helps us to see souls saved, helps us to see lives transformed. Saul and Jonathan were mighty warriors. They were mighty men of valor. Saul and Jonathan are now dead, and they need to take and train others to take their place. We need to be prepared at all times. We can't rely on what those saints that have gone before us have done. We need to be prepared. We need to be trained. We need to be ready to stand, because they were in their day. They were in their time. You know, technology is a good thing, but it seems like the more technology we get in one respect, the dumber we get in another. Have you noticed that? We rely on technology to do things that we used to rely on the noggin to do. You know, I've seen it before on online, Facebook, and other places, and you know, some smart alecks got the same. And the teacher said, "We need to learn all these math problems, because you'll not always have a calculator with us. And now you got one on you. Not everybody has a cell phone. What are you going to do if you're someplace where your cell phone don't work? Hey, man. What are you going to do if God calls you to some foreign field? Or perhaps by chance, somehow beyond your means and against your desires, you wind up someplace in a foreign country where you don't have access to anything. You don't have this technology. If you got God's Word hid in your heart. If you've been trained." He said, "Train them with the bow." Well, our weapon isn't a bow. Our weapon's a sword. Amen? Paul says to take the sword of the Word of God. Amen? We're to take that sword, and we're to learn to use it, and we're to learn to be effective with it. I can't help what Billy Sunday did. I can't help what Billy Graham did. I can't help what Billy Moorfield's doing. Amen? We might as well keep it in Billy's. Amen? I can't help what all these other Billy's are doing, but I know what this dentist needs to be doing. I need to be training myself to yield and to wield and to use this weapon of God's warfare effectively. Amen. Amen. The mighty are fallen. And they're fallen every day. Amen. Many old saints are dying every day. And we need to ask ourselves the question, is the next generation taking up the weapons? Is the next generation prepared for warfare? Is the next generation ready to resist the onslaught of hell as it comes against us? He said, train up the children of Judah to use the bow. Then look down in verses 20 to 23. First, we see the mighty have fallen. Teach others to take their place. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor the fields of offering. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. The mighty have fallen, but they went down a fighting. Amen? They went down a fighting. You know, the problem is we've grown so comfortable. We've grown so complacent. We've grown so cushy that we don't want to fight for things anymore. Amen? That's why we see the world changing so rapidly. I tell you, I believe the Lord could come just any day now. I believe things have changed so rapidly. How is it that in the state of Maryland, a law has got passed, a law has come right past the Christians in the state of Maryland that forbids us to teach against homosexuality as a lifestyle, to teach it an alternative theory, to counsel alternatively. That law was passed last week by our general assembly. It was signed by our Republican governor. Are we fighting the fight that we should be fighting? Amen. Are we valiantly fighting? Are we fighting until death brings us to the place where we can't fight any longer? It says here that as they were going, they went down a fighting. They didn't go to battle and die as cowards. They died as warriors. They died as fighting men. And you say, well, Saul committed suicide, and well, he was just hastening on what was already happening. He'd already been shot with arrows. It doesn't say how many. But he just didn't want the Philistines the pleasure of being able to torture him and to see him suffer. He would rather have taken his own life than to give them the opportunity to bask in the fact that they got to prolong his death, or they got to agonize him a little longer. It doesn't say exactly how Jonathan died, but they both died. And it says that they didn't turn back. Jonathan's bow didn't turn back. Saul's sword returned not empty. If you learn anything from those saints of old, learn this, that they didn't quit. They didn't give up. I think about my mother-in-law. Praise God. She didn't give up. She didn't quit fighting the good fight of faith till the day she died. When she couldn't do nothing else in the spiritual warfare, she grabbed the phone book. We found this out sometime later. We don't know how long she'd been doing it, but she started in A, and she started calling people on the phone and asking them, did they know Jesus? She couldn't get out of the house. She couldn't do nothing else, but praise God, she could use a phone. And she went down a fighting. She went down a soldier of the cross. She went down not as a coward, but she went down as a hero of the faith. She might not be anybody else's hero, but praise God, she was one of mine. Amen. I've seen that sainted old lady just take and call my wife. You go to the grocery store and you get this. Call my wife's sister. You go and you get this. Call my wife's brother. You go and you do this. Because she wasn't able to get out, and she saved her strength so that she could make it to the house of God. She'd get the others to go do the menial stuff. What was important to her was getting in the war room. Amen. Where she could get resupplied and ready to get back into the battle. Ready to get back into her duty station, her battle station, wherever it might be that God had placed her and whatever God wanted to do with her. And praise God, she didn't turn back. She didn't turn back. She died on the battlefield. I want to die on the battlefield for my Lord. I'll die on the battlefield for my country if need be. But praise God, I'm proud to be an American, but I'm more proud to be a soldier of the cross. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to say I would die. And I hope to die honorably. I hope when somebody reads my eulogy, if the Lord tarries that long, when somebody stands up and talks about me, they'll say, the bow of Jonathan, the bow of Dennis, turn not back. The sword of Dennis returned not empty. Amen. He accomplished what God sent him to do. He was a valiant fighter, and he went down a fighting. Amen. I tell you, to preach a message like I preached this morning, you ain't going to be no coward. Amen. You're going to go down fighting. I preached it in love. And I preached it from the heart. But it's the truth. Amen. I want to go down fighting. I don't care. Well, I do care. I shouldn't say that. It don't matter to me how mad you get at me. If I'm preaching truth, you'll get over it. Amen. You'll get over it. The mighty have fallen. We need to teach others to take their place. The mighty have fallen. We need to let others remember that they went down a fighting. There was an example. Amen. Man, can you imagine John Bunyan in prison for his faith while his wife and his children had to eke out an existence however they could? Can you imagine those saints of old, those old Baptists who were drowned, those old Baptists who were put in cages and left to starve to death, those old Baptists who were burned at the stake as heretics, those old Baptists who suffered for the cause of Christ, but they wavered not, and they went down a fighting because they fought for truth, and they stood on truth, and they wouldn't waver the principles of truth. Hey man, you know, Saul and Israel could have surrendered, they could have given in to the enemy, but they didn't. And they went down a fighting. Amen. I'm glad we have an example that's gone before us of saints that have went down a fighting. Amen. Verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, and with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I'm distressed for thee, my brother. Jonathan, very pleasant thou hast been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? The mighty have fallen. The mighty have fallen. And as they have fallen, one day we must too. We can fall fighting. We can fall as cowards. But one thing is for certain. One day we're going to perish. One day you're going to read an obituary. It says, Dennis Gilbert, born September 29th, 1956, departed this life whenever. We're none of us invincible. None of us irreplaceable. None of us that are going to escape. The last time I looked, the mortality rate for human beings was 100%. Am I correct? All right. If that's the truth, what kind of soldier ought I to be? Realizing that one day, somebody's going to look back and say, I remember him. Somebody's going to look back and say, yeah, that old preacher, he could get mean sometimes, but he loved us. That old preacher, he was hard, but it's because he cared. That old preacher wasn't full of sweetness every time he preached, but he preached truth. David said, Jonathan, you are pleasant. Jonathan, you are sweet. Jonathan, you had a love that, and a bond between us that was different. And this isn't what the homosexuals try to make it be in any way, shape, or form. It was just a bond and a friendship of men who bound their life together under an oath of God to one another, for one another. He said, Jonathan, you are the dearest friend I ever had. But oh, how the mighty are fallen. I want to be your friend. I want to be more than your friend. I want to be your pastor. I want to be more than your friend and your pastor. I want to be an example. And each one of us can look in our own lives and say, I want to be more. I want to be more than a parent. Because I know one day I'm not going to be here anymore. But I'm going to leave a legacy behind. What kind of parent do I want to be? What kind of legacy do I want to leave behind? I want to be the best sibling that I could ever be. But what kind of sibling am I going to be? Am I going to be the one that they look back on and say, their life was a reflection of Christ in everything that they did. When they spoke, when they acted, when they did the things that they did, was it a reflection of Christ in their heart? As a church member, is your desire to be a light shining to a lost and a dying world? When you die, will the folks that know you say, I knew that was a Christian. I knew they loved the Lord because the life they live reflected that. See, the mighty are fallen. And I think about them saints of old that went before me. And I'm reminded every day as I look in the mirror and I see more gray hairs, fewer hairs. Amen. Strange hairs. You know, when you get old, you quit growing hair on your head, but it starts popping out your ears and out your nose and eyebrow. Yeah. Everywhere but where you want it to be. Amen. And you look in the mirror and you're reminded. It's there, Pam. Pam was checking. Amen. It's there. But we're reminded that as the mighty have fallen before us, no matter how good a Christian we are, we're going to fall before our friends, our families, our children, and the world around us. But when you fall, what kind of legacy, what kind of testimony will you leave behind? What kind of witness will you be? Verses 19, 25, and 27. David says, how are the mighty fallen? Three times. Verses 18, 22, and 27. David mentions the weapons of war three times. I think it's important that we realize that no matter who we are, no matter how great a battle we have fought, what ultimately, you know, David and Saul weren't on the best terms. But David knew that Saul fought valiantly for Israel. As a matter of fact, the young man that told him that he killed Saul and took his crown off his head, David had him killed for killing the Lord's anointed. David fought so highly of Saul. He said, how the mighty have fallen. The valiant men. Church, what we need tonight is valiant men and valiant women willing to be soldiers of the cross, realizing our own mortality, but determined that we're going to go down fighting. And until that time, we're going to teach others how to war and fight the good fight of faith for the cause of Christ. As we stand to our feet tonight, our heads bowed.